Let's talk about a few rashis that highlight the contours of a bris, because Atem Nitzavim, the parsha, contains a bris, Le'avrecha b'bris, and we typically read it immediately before Rosh Hashanah, so there's a lot of resonance and a lot of echoes between what's happening in Nitzavim and the bris that we rely on and invoke so often on Rosh Hashanah. So there are a few rashis that help us better understand the nuts and bolts and the experience of a bris. First of all, obviously, Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, Le'avrecha b'bris. Rashi stresses, Le'avrecha b'bris doesn't mean La'avircha b'bris, that I am passing you through on this bris. It's Le'avrecha, not La'avircha, Rashi says. What's the difference between Le'avrecha b'bris as opposed to La'avircha b'bris? Le'avrecha is more personal. Each person has to decide to walk through. La'avircha would imply that Moshe Rabbeinu stewards them, and Moshe Rabbeinu escorts them. Moshe Rabbeinu can issue commands. Moshe Rabbeinu can teach Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu can impose, but what he can't is he can't force you to enter into a bris. A bris is a relationship. A bris is a commitment. That's a personal decision. So there, it's purely an expression of Bechira Chavshis to decide to enter that bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and part of that is Rosh Hashanah. When we invoke Zocher Bris, is it something that we are entering freely and volitionally, we feel we're part of. Of course, our grandparents already entered it freely, so we're part of it automatically. But this is the first stage, so this is the incipient stage of the bris. So Moshe Rabbeinu cannot write La'avircha b'bris, he has to write La'avracha b'bris. Now, Rashi tells us the ceremony of a bris. The ceremony of a bris involved passing by Derech Avara, La'avracha b'bris, so you'd walk together. But kachayu karse krisos osin. They would make machitzas, mikan mikan. They would make walls on either side. The ovrim bentayim. And Rashi quotes the pasuk in Yirmiyah to back that up. Namely, the bris, the ceremony, has two components. One component is movement, havara, li'avracha b'bris. One component is machitzas on either side. Rather than just walking along a path or walking along a meadow, you're walking within a contained area that's bounded on either side by machitzas. That's why the original bris between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Avram was referred to as bris ben habeserim, because the mechitzos there were not walls, the mechitzos there were body parts of an animal. Why there were body parts of an animal, that was unique to that bris. But in general, a bris means splitting walls in half. That's why it's krisas bris. You're splitting material and you're creating walls on either side. Those walls could be picket fences, they could be gazes, they could be gvil, they could be mekanim. And they can be animal parts, but they don't have to be animal parts. And you're walking between those two walls. These two ingredients of a bris connote two crucial aspects of a bris. Number one, that it's always changing. The dynamics are changing. The concept remains the same, but there's movement, there's dynamics, you're moving along a path. A bris is meant to be durable. It's meant to last many years. Our bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu has lasted 4,000 years. But times change, and there are stressors to the bris, and there are new challenges, and there are new feelings, and new realities. And the bris remains intact, but there's a movement, there's a walking, the avracha b'bris. You plan to be together when you marry someone, which is the second ultimate bris that a human being can enter. The ultimate bris is the Kodesh Baruch Hu. When you marry, it's also a bris. You don't know what's going to happen down the line. You don't know what you'll be like 20 years later, 30 years later, with children, thick or thin, when you said, let's walk through life together. Let's go through life together. It's not like we're spending a month together. We're going to spend much time together, and life always changes. And we're going to walk together and meet those changes together, but they're going to be mechitzos on the other side, and we're not going to deviate from those mechitzos. We're not going to trespass those mechitzos. We're not going to violate certain boundaries and parameters. And that's the whole strength of a bris. If you loved your wife every single minute of your life the way you love her under the chuppah, you won't need a bris. You'd be overcome with passion, overcome with emotion. You'd act appropriately because you're just so dazed by romance. But you don't have romance every minute of your life. You can't count on your emotions to be firing and passionate every... So bris says, because we love one another, these are going to be the parameters beyond which we don't veer. And even on days that I don't feel that excitement, I am bounded and obligated by certain guidelines, and I don't behave in certain ways, and I don't necessarily veer beyond certain... It's like almost a sports field, where there are boundaries on the sports field, and within the boundaries are many different plays and many different strategies, but you have to stay within bounds, or else the play is ruled out, or the play doesn't count. So in life, there are boundaries to a bris. So there's movement, there's development, things change, you adapt, can't lock off in any relationship. Our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu now has to be very different than it was 2,000 years ago. It's after the Holocaust. It's after 2,000 years of Gullus. It's after we've shown such heroism in building the State of Israel. So all of a sudden, there are new parts to the Bris. There are new features. We're not just living in Spain 700 years ago or in Tunisia 1,200 years ago. We're living in a very different reality. But those boundaries remain the same. So there are mechitzos and there is havara, li'avracha b'ris, and Moshe can't force them. Now what's interesting is that Moshe waits for the end of his life to make this bris. Atem mitzavim Rashi says, melamed shekinsei Moshe l'tei HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'yom moso l'achnisa b'ris. What does Rashi stress b'yom moso? Why did Moshe wait till yom moso? Why didn't he enact his bris earlier? So the truth is he did enact the bris earlier. The first bris was at Har Sinai. So this is an updating of the bris. The question is not why this is the first bris. Why does Moshe wait till the day of his death to update the bris? How does this bris update the previous bris? Well, first of all, Moshe says, Eis asher yeshno po, Eis asher inenu po, the bris of Har Sinai. Even though we believe we're all at Har Sinai, Moshe isn't explicit, Eis asher yeshno po. And Yitzavim, he says, this is a bris that will have ramifications even for people who aren't here. So we're all part of that bris. We weren't there, but we're all included. Even if we don't buy in, we're part of that bris. Number one. Number two, Moshe says, this is a bris even after you fail, because this is a bris after Parshas Kisavo. So you think there's a bris, but the whole world constantly reminds us, yeah, but you violated the bris. You're no longer God's chosen. God chose the Christians. God chose other religions because you betrayed him. So Moshe says, no, the bris even outlasts Gullus, even outlasts Tochacha. Le'avracha b'yavis b'risi Avram eskor, v'yaretz eskor, v'zachartis b'risi Yaakov. So Moshe incorporates all those ingredients into this bris. Says, first of all, there are people here that you can see that are part of this bris. And second of all, don't think that if all these curses and all this punishment and travail occurs, then the bris is canceled. That's why there's a bris, because it's durable. But for some reason, Moshe waits till the end of his life, in part, and this is a very delicate statement, so listen carefully, as powerful as the bris is, and as durable, and as safe, it can be sometimes too safe, because you become too reliant. Look at any marriage, you always have to refresh it, you just have to try to find new romance. Any friendship, you always want to try to rebuild, that's to say we have a bris. So as long as Moshe's alive, he's hoping he can infuse passion, vision, prophecy, new energy every day into the bris. He doesn't want to stress the bris, because then sometimes people will use the bris as an excuse to stunt their growth. You can become too reliant on the bris. To a degree, that's how the Jewish people fell so precipitously in the first Beis HaMikdash. They were too reliant on the Beis HaMikdash. There's a pasuk in Yirmiyah, they kept screaming, Heichal, Heichal, Heichal. There's actually a pasuk like that with three words, Heichal. It's just assume we have the Beis HaMikdash. We have the Heichal Hashem. How can we be attacked? How can we be vanquished? We're invulnerable. So sometimes in life it has to be a balance between security measures and confidence and durability, but also vision and inspiration and passion. Imagine a bris being a safety net under a high wire act, under a trapeze artist. You don't want to ever fall into the safety net. You want to be able to perform feats and stunts and jumps and calisthenics, but you need that safety net. So should your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu be based on the bris? That's the only reason you serve Hashem, because you have a bris? It's now Thursday morning. Is there anything about HaKadosh Baruch Hu that makes you feel like, even if I did have a bris, I'd want to buy in, I'd want to study his Torah, I'd want to perform mitzvahs, I'd want to improve my life? The only reason you're from today is because there's a bris? Of course not. So Moshe is very delicate and very, very deliberate about when he introduces the bris. He says, when I'm alive, let's see how much we can achieve even without relying on the bris. Now he's about to die and he's worried. Now let's reinforce the bris. So Moshe chooses this moment very strategic. It's the same thing. That's why we stress the bris in Rosh Hashanah more so than the rest of the year, because Rosh Hashanah there is a bit of a desperation. Rosh Hashanah we have to pull out all of our cards, because if we base our judgment and our relationship with Hashem on our performance, we come up short. If we're honest, we're deficient. So, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let's rely on the bris. But on a day-to-day basis, even though we mention the bris, we don't want that to suck the air out of the room. Say, well, why am I serving Hashem? Because I have a bris. That's why you're married, because you have a bris. You don't love your wife. Then why do I need a bris? Because sometimes you don't feel that same passion. So you always have to play those like two pistons in an engine. Every piston is moving, and they're moving in alternating cycles. So these are three ingredients of a bris that are stressed in Parshas Nitzavim. I just want to mention one other Rashi, because it's important for your tefillos on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that after you perform tshuva, v'shav Hashem elokecha eshuv oscha. strange word. We say this pasuk every day in Slichos. V'shav Hashem Elokecha Shvasra, Torah Shvayt V'hashev. Hashem will return. He's the person retrieving us. V'hashev Shvasra Le'akov. V'hashev. So Rashi says, V'shav, that means Hashem is retrieving us. Hashem is himself returning. V'shav Hashem Elokecha. Why does Hashem have to return? So Rashi says, Rabbi Seinu Lamder Mikan, Kevayachal Shahashachina, Shruya im Yisrael Betzaras Galusam, Uch Shenegalim Hechtev Hagulal Atzmo, Shru Yashuv Imahem. This is the principle called Shechinta Begalusa. The principle of Shechinta Begalusa means two things. Number one, literally, where we are, Hashem is. So if we're in New York, Hashem's in New York. If we're in Egypt, Hashem's in Egypt. If we're in Poland, Hashem's in Poland. When we return, he has to actually return. But it's not just geographic, it's also philosophical. That when the Jewish people are suffering, they don't have their base of Mikdash, they don't have their sovereignty, they don't have full control over their land, they don't have their Sanhedrin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina is not just in Golus that Hashem is relocated to a nice hotel in Chile. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his Shechina is suffering. His Shechina is depleted. His Shechina is obscured in this world. Shechinta Begalusa is not just a geographic location, it's also a state of the Shechina. So when we return, HaKadosh Baruch Hu returns to Har Moriah, Hashem returns to Eretz Yisrael, but also the Shechina returns to its glory of being redeemed and being seen. So when we daven, we're davening, V'shav Hashem Elokecha Shavuscha, not just for the return of the Jewish people, but you'll see this and you'll hear this in some of the tones of the davening, but for the return and the completion and the rehabilitation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina in this world. So four Rashis. Three Rashis about a bris. Li'avrecha, not lahavircha. Has to be personal. It can't be enforced. It can't be imposed. Number two, mechitza mikan u'mikan, and you walk in the middle together. You don't just stand between the mechitzas. You walk, so there's motion and dynamic movement, but within contained, constrained situations. Number three, Moshe waits for his death to reinforce the bris of Har Sinai because he doesn't want to put too much reliance on a bris because that could stifle or thwart personal growth. And number four, v'shav Hashem Elokecha eshev oscha. Not, he doesn't retrieve us, he comes and returns with us. He returns along with us, and the Shechina is rehabilitated in this world. Think about some of those things in Rosh Hashanah. Okay? Have a good day. Oh my goodness, okay.